Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you all back with us. It is good to have you back. It is good for you to be with me. Good for me to be with y'all. How was your weekend? I hope you got some rest and some recreation, some good, wholesome recreation so you can rejuvenate, be ready to focus on today's discussion. We're going to be talking about Christianity, some of the challenges of Christianity, living in a world where, well, no one is just alike. We're being joined by Dr. Stephen Cutchins, who is pastor of First Baptist North Augusta in North Augusta, South Carolina. I tell you, Dr. Cutchins, it's good to have you back with us. It's been a minute. Before we go into the discussion, though, I shared with them that you're pastoring First Baptist North Augusta, but if you could talk with us a little bit more about Stephen Cutchins. Let us know a little bit about what your life was like during your childhood. Segue into what led you to go in the direction of ministry and talk with us about the academic background, particularly for people who are saying, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about going into ministry or I'm already in ministry. And I've been having some questions about what I might need to consider when it comes to academic training for ministry.
Well, you know what it is? Good to be back with you, Carl. It has been a minute since we've been together, but it's good to be back together. You and I have a kindred spirit. It's always a joy to be able to sit down and talk with you and with your audience. And if you have someone in your audience right now that's listening and is saying, man, what would it be like to be in ministry, or is maybe thinking, man, I could never be in ministry. That probably resonates with me. I had no idea in my heart or in my mind of going into ministry until I was well into my adult years. I had no interest in it. It wasn't on my radar. In fact, if there was any glimpse of that that came up in my mind or in my heart, it was pretty quickly suppressed. You know, I was... It was not the path that I had in mind for my life. I grew up, I was born in Atlanta, and a lot of my family roots are in Georgia. And my folks, my mom and my dad, they met in South Georgia, and my dad moved up to Atlanta to work on his PhD in counseling psychology. I was born in Atlanta, and then we relocated to South Carolina after he finished that program. He became a superintendent, was an educator most of his life, although his formal education was really focused around psychology. His professional life was in the school systems. The reason I say all that is because that's just what I grew up thinking I was going to do. Man, I was going to grow up and be a teacher and then be a principal and then be a superintendent, you know, and just be an educator for life. But as I started going down that road, I finished an undergraduate degree in education and eventually got my first job as a school teacher. And I really enjoyed it, taught in the public school systems for about 4 or 5 years. And began to really sense inside of me at that point, 5 years into my first professional, full-time professional environment, kind of a tension where there were things that I wanted to talk about with students and with parents that were of spiritual nature, just in conversation. I mean, it wasn't thinking about preaching or anything like that, but just we would go into certain topics. And I always felt that there was a high level of respect that I needed to have for the environment that I was in. And I would always ask myself, you know, what is my role here? You know, my role there was to be an educator and to represent the state in which I was teaching and to be a public school teacher and be a Christian doing that. But I always felt like there was kind of a line that in that field I needed to be careful not to cross and become, step out of my role as an educator. But I kind of danced on that line for a long time, you know, of trying to figure out what does it mean to be a Christian leader in a certain field. And I think that's probably the most impact we can have. I really felt strongly when I left ministry, education to go into ministry, that there was a dynamic shift in the effectiveness and the reach of my actual presence as a Christian leader. In fact, I felt like it went down a lot because when I went into ministry, and you know this, when you get into churches and you're in quote-unquote ministry, really what you're doing is you're surrounding yourself around a bunch of people that are already convinced. And so you don't get to have quite as much of a day in and day out interaction. with people that that are searching and asking questions. You know, people will come to you when you have them in ministry. When they have questions, they'll come to you. But just the day in and day out rhythm of my life changed dramatically when I went into church. And there's a lot of guys that are writing books and doing research today, Carl, that, that say the best thing you can do to impact the culture is not to cut ties with your career path and to go into a church-related career path. They're saying now that the best way to impact a generation or impact a culture is to find the and to achieve the highest level of leadership that you can in the field that you're in. Like, be the best at what you are called to do, and get to that position and do that as a Christian. Don't try to glamorize the idea of going into ministry, but to instead really get to the highest place in your area, in your field, in your profession, and do that as a Christian. That is actually statistically, and the research is showing us, there's a couple of books I've read recently that, that really highlight this, that you can do the most ministry not being in quote-unquote local church ministry. And that sounds counterintuitive, but I found that to be true. So it was a little bit of a disenfranchising moment when I stepped out of public school teaching, where I was seeing hundreds of kids every day in middle school and high school, being in secondary education, and going into a local church where I was constantly surrounded by people that were already convinced, is a phrase I would use before. And so it was a little bit of a reorientation to that. And so ministry became my path, and it was a very non-traditional track for me. I started part-time while I was still teaching school, working in a church, and had a great experience, grew in my areas of contribution in the church. I got some skills and developed those skills, and then eventually kind of went two-thirds time and then kind of stopped teaching and went full-time into ministry, but it wasn't licensed or ordained, and started going to seminary and starting to find the answers to some of the questions that had been plaguing me and some of the questions I was being asked. And so, you know, I went through and got a seminary degree and did a doctorate of ministry, and have been in ministry ever since. And that's probably been 15 or 20 years now that I've been serving the church by leading the church in the role of pastor, and it's been a great opportunity to talk to folks that are interested in serving in the local church for me, because my track, like I said, is very non-traditional. There's folks that just, I feel like they're born and their dad was a pastor, and their grandpa was a pastor, and their great grandpa was a pastor, and they're going to be a pastor. And there's this idea in their mind from a very young age. And so there's a very strict and very good, clear path to do that in many denominations. There's a way that you do that, but I didn't start that way. I didn't even think about being in ministry even when I was. I was just kind of doing something on the side that I got invited to do for fun, and it just kind of grew very organically in my life. And so now I serve as the senior pastor of a very large church and get the opportunity to be a servant leader in an environment where I'm surrounded by a lot of folks that take very seriously their Christian faith. You know, it's a great joy to be able to be a part and to play the role of pastor in a person's life. But really to, I think, take seriously the goal of equipping believers, equipping, as the scripture says, the saints to do the work of the ministry is the great joy of the discipleship-oriented pastor role in the local church. So I don't know if that's what you were looking for, but that's a little bit about me and where I am now. You know, as far as ministry, if someone's thinking about that, just the thing I would do is just sum all that up, is that there's no one path. Yeah. There's not a right or wrong checklist of how you get into ministry. I think it really is just being intentionally open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and taking the opportunity each day to say, what is the next right thing in my life, and not get overwhelmed with where God may be taking you. Mm-hmm. If you had told me 10 years ago that I'd be the pastor of a church with over, 2,000 active members, I'd have laughed at you. And most of the people that were friends with me would laugh at you, too. But again, that's just the grace of God. That's the power of God in people's life, is that He has a grand plan. And you don't really have to question it. You don't have to really think a whole lot if you're willing to just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and day by day say, all right, be the light unto my path and show me where to take my next step. And just making that commitment to God to say, I'm going to do the next right thing. Mm-hmm. And defining the next right thing based on what his priorities are and not what your personal preferences are leading you to do. Because if I was doing what I wanted to do, I wouldn't be a pastor of a church. But boy, am I glad I didn't do what I wanted to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Boy, am I glad that I didn't follow my own heart, as the scripture says, because it can be deceptive sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Especially when you're in the messy middle of life and in a career. In the beginnings of life, you know, you have grand plans and visions. And you know, when I was in high school and even in college, you know, you have all these philosophies and dreams. And it seems like at some point you stop growing up and you start growing old. You know what I mean? And somewhere in the messy middle in there, I think God's identity for you, he has an identity for you that's different from what the natural tendency of the path of life would tend to take you on. So it's kind of neat to see what he's done in my life, and those folks that are listening, they're thinking about that. Man, I just encourage you to be very prayerful, acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and follow his leading, even though it may not make any sense to you or anybody around you. Take that next step, whatever that next step is. Keep it simple. Don't think about the long term. Just say, you know, what's the next right thing for me to do? And do that with reckless abandonment, and just watch God show you the next step once you get out there.
Yeah. That's an excellent point. I appreciate the fact that you're emphasizing the importance of us following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Because even when it comes to education, he's not going to tell everybody the exact same thing. You know, as counterintuitive as it may seem to be, there are some people who God is going to say to, listen, I want you to spend your time in prayer. I want you to spend your time studying my word. I want you to make sure you walk uprightly before me. And that's all the preparation I want you to make. I don't want you to go to school. For other people, he'll say, but listen, there are places that the degree is going to take you that you will not get to unless you have this level of education. Make sure you go get it. And it can be different for each individual. So I like the fact that you're saying each one of us needs to be paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is telling us as individuals and making sure we're following his lead as he leads us to the next step. And after that, the next right step. Mm-hmm. And after that, the next right step. So that he, by his grace, we find ourselves fulfilling our destiny as we go.
Yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, we're playing out, both of us have mentioned now that passage that talks about the Word of God being the light unto our path, and the light unto our path and all this. And one of the interesting things about it, if you think about that visually, which is hard to do on a radio broadcast, but let me just see if I can paint a picture of this. The idea of that culturally, the way I've studied this and encountered it in a couple of different places is, you know, back in the day, they would actually, in order to walk down a dark path, there were no street lights or anything like that. But in the times that this culture would have received that information, it was, you know, it was not unusual for them to put some type of lamp actually on their ankle so that they could light their path, a light unto their path.
Yeah.
It was very close to the ground. It wasn't a light that was elevated so that you could see a long way down the path. Literally, that lamp unto my feet was not a lamp unto my feet as in show me what step to take, but it was literally a lamp on the foot, on the lower level of the body, that was showing the next step on the path. So that is the great mystery that we get to enjoy when we're following the path that God has for us. Our path is going to be well lit. You know, the path that we have in mind for ourselves is going to be clearly understood by everyone, and it's going to make sense, and there's going to be a career path and all that. But when you're talking about the path that God has for your spiritual journey, a lot of times what you get is the great mystery of enjoying just being able to see what that next step is, because his light is going to give you a very clear understanding of what the next thing is that you're to do. And that may be just about it. That may be all you get, is that next step. And so being fully committed with just all the passion that you have to just constantly taking the next step and not getting stuck.
And not getting stuck and trusting God all along the way.
That's right.
Our guest, yours and mine, is Dr. Stephen Cutchins. We're talking about the Christian life. Had to lay that foundation before we move into some other territory. When we come back, we have something else that we're going to be asking you to join with us on. Thinking it through, you got somebody sitting in a desk next to you. Talk about it with them. follow along in the discussion on Christian life and what it means to truly develop love and unity, love for one another, unity with one another, in spite of our differing political and social worldviews.
I must do. My work here is complete, and it's all been done for you. Leave what I have stated. I will give you peace through all your tribulations until I.